This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
I want to discuss my theme for today and, talking about cultivating trust and rest in uncertain times. I mean, you can say that we've never been in this place in our history, right? Just even this country alone. And then other people say, yeah, well, we've been there. This is the undercurrent of a lot of stuff that hasn't been looked at by maybe the privileged or, the different ways that the people that haven't had to deal with the underlying stuff that's been happening in this country for a very, very long time. That maybe more the marginalized people of color, vulnerable communities have known for a very long time. And so just noticing the uncertainty of whatever that means for you, it can be in your own family right now. It can be in your work. This is the fact of life, is that things are uncertain. And I know for me, coming from a background that I have developmental trauma, complex trauma, coming from a very destabilized family in the way of the effects of active alcoholism, untreated codependency, domestic violence, incarceration, just like different things, right? That's part of my makeup. That's part of my genetics and the intergenerational experiences that came in. And so when I was very young, I wanted certainty. I wanted control. And then so the tighter I became as I got older, right? And the more I wanted things to be done a certain way, and the more that I needed to do things a certain way. And when I would learn something, it was like it had to be the right way and the way, right? And what's beautiful about mindfulness, it comes from this practice of the middle way. What's in the middle? So it's not the all or nothing, but that middle way. And so when I look at my attachment to wanting things to be a certain way, especially when it's unjust and it's causing harm, there's this sense of rage. There's this sense of pain that comes up. And it's like, if only things could be this way, then we can be at peace and happy and free. And especially when there isn't, I think there's a lack of accountability, to say the least. And this has nothing, we're not going into politics, we're going into life, right? Life right now, whatever that means to you. So you can resonate or relate in whatever. I would like for you to bring in your own experience and how this can be helpful if it can. So when I was preparing for this talk, I was looking up what is certainty, right? And certainty is the state of being completely free from doubt. Well, right there, I'm kind of out. Like, I have a lot of doubt. Right? But it's like this. So already the bar is so high, right? A state of being completely free from doubt or a fact or event that is absolutely sure to happen or be true. Now, this is part of the. So then I go, well, what's absolutely sure to happen and be true? Well, the circle of life. I'm impermanent, right? I'm not going to be here forever. So I know that. I can actually guarantee change. That's what I can definitely know certain, that things change. And for someone that has really suffered with anxiety and different things of wanting so much to be in control, I came to this practice actually. I first started meditating when I was 17. So like over almost 40 years ago. And not because I had nothing better to do. It was more that I was suffering so much. And in the way that I was trying to self-soothe or find, a liberation and freedom from this restless mind, if you will. And so cultivating this practice of awareness and being really accepting in the moment what is. It's really how can I surrender in the sense of I have a certain way of I want things to be, because that will give me this sense of certainty. And then I can rest. Then I can enjoy life. Then I can let go. Then I can be happy, whatever it is that I'm seeking. And so the other part of trust or certainty is it involves having firm knowledge or unwavering conviction that something is correct. And you can see a lot of harm and pain that's being caused right now because of people's certainties and absolutes. And you need to do it my way and see it my way. As opposed to if you look at nature, nature is such an incredible teacher. Because nature teaches us biodiversity. It's because of the diversity of everything living together and being authentically its own essence, and then finding a way to be creative and collaborative that nature thrives. But when we're coming from this place of certainty in the way that you have to believe a certain way, you have to think a certain way, you have to look a certain way, you have to come from a certain place. This is that sense of control that gets tighter and tighter, and that is really insatiable. It's never satisfied. There's a lack of satisfaction. So I think about the idea that life includes a lack of certainty, right? But then I can go, what are certain things that for me feel true enough that I can have some sense of grounding? I can have some sense of I'm not totally untethered, that there's a place in me. So I would just love for fun, if you want to put in the chat, what are some things, for you with that you can be certain of. If there's anything that you wanted to name, what could you be certain of? My garden, love it. Yeah, just noticing the pause. The sun will come up and grow every and go down every day. Yes, sunrise, gravity. Yeah. Puppy kisses. As you said, things will change for better, for worse. Yeah. The impermanence, right? This is such a huge tenet of mindfulness, is understanding the impermanence. That's nothing is permanent in the way that there's this cycle of life and change. Dreams and nightmares. My dog who wants to play ball, absolutely. For the dog, it's like certainty is the ball. That's it. I'm certain about the ball. And if only life could be that simple for some of us, could it just be a ball, right? As opposed to all the balls that are flying in the air. Surprises. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. So just noticing how our relationship to certainty. And I would say that for me, my practice gives me a sense of certainty in the way that I might not be able to control everything that's happening out there, but that I know how to pause. I know how to feel my breath. I know how to soften into this moment. I need to, when I'm in that kind of spin, that I can pause and I can turn towards maybe some literature, people, nature, that I can reset myself and feel a little bit more capacity to be with what is. And that practice has rewired my nervous system. Doesn't mean that I don't first get that jolt or have that thought, but I have the pause in there. And the choice to change if I'm feeling that sense of hijack or to cultivate more peace and groundedness. Bosses will give you more work. This is true, right? Ever since your last session, I have been thinking about nature as a teacher. Oh, I'm so glad to hear, Mariel. Thank you. That we have within us what we need and we look for it. So that's so beautiful. I want to read you this quote by the beautiful teacher, Karen Mazin Miller. And this is from Paradise in Plain Sight, Lessons from a Zen Garden. So it says, what if you suddenly saw through all of your fear and ignorance, your restless craziness, and realized that you already possess what you are looking for because you already are everything you're looking for? So I'll read that again. What if you suddenly saw through all the fear and the ignorance? That's like the weather in the sky, like a big storm that we're in. Your restless craziness in the way that, like, oh, whatever's going on in our body and our mind. And you realize that you already possess what you're looking for because you already are everything you're looking for. And this is a practice, right? This is a practice to be able to come to, like, oh, I'm running for something or I'm running away from something. And most of the time, for me, I'm kind of running away from my own self. And the way that I can be extremely self-critical, and the way that I'll take on way too much in my life, and maybe I'm running towards something that really isn't what I'm seeking. It's more that U-turn, right? So if I'm running towards something, it's maybe for the hope, the peace of self connection, which is in here. It doesn't mean I don't feel I need the connectedness from that outside of me. And then maybe I'm running away from something. And so just noticing when we're in these flee responses and these fight responses of the nervous system. And this is a lot, we can say that the answers are within, but it takes a lot of courage to sit with ourselves. It takes a lot of courage to open our hearts to our own self, to our own nature, to be able to settle and ground into who is here, right? Who is here? How do I turn towards this being right here? How am I relating to her, to them? The other thing that I wanted to share was, what is trust? So the definition says trust is assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. Assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. That could be our own character, our own value, our own courage. That could be the people in our community. That could be the community right here that we're together with. So then I would ask you, so the basic trust, what is it things that we can find just basic trust in? And if you want to include that in the chat, or if you want to even come off mic, come on the camera, or just come off the mute and share, that'd be great too. What is the basic trust? Can I name anything right now? And trust can feel like a really big word, especially when there's a lot to not trust right now. We're getting so many different algorithms. We're getting so many interpretations of quote facts, of policies, of systems, all these things that we say, what can I trust? Brenda says, good friends, Oh, that my husband will do the dishes. The basic trust has to be with yourself, says Donna. Yeah, so then what do we trust within ourselves? Is it our willingness? Is it our vulnerability? Is it the fact that we care? Is it our generosity, our compassion, our values? Mark says, great spirit, heart, herbal medicine. Within myself, my honesty and compassion. And just noticing if nothing is resonating for you, just being curious about that. And if these are resonating, can you savor it? Can you take that in? Can it be enough, maybe just in this moment? So, mindfulness is not about finding definitive answers. It's really changing our relationship with uncertainty. It's really cultivating areas of trusting or trusting enough, right? I don't know. My background, where I come from, I have good reason not to trust. Really good reason not to trust. Waiting for that other shoe to drop has been a big practice that I've had to unlearn over the years, right? And it doesn't mean that we can't have awareness and use discernment from the wisdom of our past. But if I'm in a hypervigilant state and I'm overly focused on what could go wrong, then I miss the opportunity of seeing in the moment what is okay, what is good right now. Sharon says, we often know the truth, so we can often trust our intuition or gut feeling. Beautiful. So, this trusting our gut feeling, when we are in this restless mind, it's really challenging, or it can be, to trust in the gut feeling, in this inner knowing. The beautiful teacher, Bhikkhu Panikkara, he was the monk that led the Walk for Peace from Texas to DC. And he says, a restless mind creates suffering. An angry mind creates divisions. A fearful mind creates harm. But a compassionate mind creates healing. A mindful heart creates understanding. And a peaceful individual can help transform families, communities, and even nations. So, by our willingness to sit with ourselves and work with our attention and find a way to ease this restlessness, and then recognizing the stories that we're creating or that we're lost in. Is it a story of fear? Is it a story of anger? How do we turn towards it and then cultivate this compassionate curiosity and be in this place that nature teaches us, which is awe, the awe of the sunset, the awe of the garden, right? The awe of the fruit. And I love the acronym, which is, and what else? So when I'm in my fear or I'm holding on or I'm seeing stuff that I just cannot believe is happening to people that I love, to people that I care for, to strangers that I don't know, I try to get into this place of awe and what else? Where do I see and look how people are being kind to each other? And look how people are stepping up? And look how people are saying, no, this is not okay. That helps me to soften as opposed to prepare, right? Prepare for battle. And I'm not saying there isn't wisdom and that kind of preparation, but it's also, is it true? When I'm meeting the moment, then I can have that access to that intuition, that knowing. Again, Karen Mazin Miller says, Mazin Miller says, freedom is instantaneous the moment we accept things as they are. Freedom is instantaneous the moment we accept things as they are. And Paula, I'll get to you in just a moment. Thank you so much for raising your hand. If we allow the just the dropping those rocks on the mountain, or like a tree that has a branch that is just filled with heaviness and despair, and we just say, okay, I'm just going to drop the resistance. It's there. I'm going to accept things right now in this moment as they are. It's that battle of fighting. So Pema Chodron says, letting there be room for not knowing is the most important thing of all. Letting there be room for not knowing is the most important thing of all. This is because of our openness. If we know and we come from our assumptions, conclusions, judgments, as opposed to this beginner's mind of wonder and awe, then maybe we're seeing things in a way that's not true. Maybe we're missing out on this type of connection. Pema says, the gift that I, and Pema Chodron is a beautiful Tibetan teacher, Buddhist teacher. The gift that I've experienced is that whatever is happening, if you don't judge it, then there's some kind of ease with whatever happens. But if you call it good or bad, then you begin to get into this kind of war with yourself. So, I mean, there's definitely, we can assess that there's stuff that happening that you can say, come on, like, is this causing harm, or is this creating harmony? But we're talking about within ourselves first. For some of us, we choose to change what's happening out there, but we're bypassing what needs to happen in here, doing our own work inside, because that's what we're drawing from in living this life. So again, Tara says, who's a beautiful mindfulness teacher, a Buddhist psychologist, she says, nothing is beyond love's reach. And when we can attend to that restless mind in a practice that offers us to rest, even when there's uncertainty, this is the gift of freedom. So, I'm going to read this other poem, and then I'm going to open it up, and I'll begin with Paul in a moment. So, this is by Laura Ding Edwards, and this is called The Mountain. If the mountain seems too big today, then climb a hill instead. If morning brings you sadness, it's okay to stay in bed. If the day ahead feels heavy, and your plans feel like a curse, there's no shame in rearranging. Don't make yourself feel worse. If a shower stings like needles and a bath feels like you'll drown, if you haven't washed your hair for days, don't throw away your crown. A day is not a lifetime. A rest is not defeat. Don't think of it as failure, just a quiet, kind retreat. It's okay to take a moment from an anxious, fractured mind. The world will not stop turning while you get realigned. The mountain will still be there when you want to try again. You can climb it in your own time. Just love yourself till then. So, this is the gift of compassion. And this is a deep practice, especially because I internalized my own challenges and different things as it was my fault. What's wrong with me? And now it's more of like, okay, this is life, for better or for worse. But how can I be a friend to myself during it, in it, living in it? So I say this all the time to my students, is that life can be hard, And then we make it harder by being hard on ourselves, right? It can be so automatic, we're not even aware of it. So mindfulness helps us to pause and say, it's already hard enough. Let me be a little bit more kinder to myself, a little bit more of my friend. And that's what's going to help us to reach that next mountain or that hill or face whatever's in front of us. And this is where I invite this practice of compassionate curiosity. Can we stay open, tend to ourselves, and meet the moment? All right, everyone, thank you for that part. I'm going to open it up. Love to hear from you. So, Paula, do you want to begin? Can you unmute?
Hi.
Hi.
There you are. As you were talking, there was something you said about feeling like you used to feel like you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop, which I and probably a lot of people listening right now can relate to. And I feel like that a lot less than I used to. And I think a lot of that's probably as a result of meditating and just being just having more awareness. But I'm wondering, is that something that you consciously worked on to try to get rid of, or is it something that you just kind of have felt has naturally fallen away the more that you've meditated? I'm just kind of wondering how you tackled that.
Thank you, Paula. Yeah, I would say maybe both. The awareness gave me the choice to change my relationship to it. Because if we're not aware, we don't even know our habits, right? They're so unconscious. And I agree. I don't feel I'm alone. We're not alone in this waiting for the other shoe to drop. This is a protective strategy if we look at it in that way. Like a lot of pain and suffering is caused because we're overwhelmed and maybe even caught off guard. So if I don't want to be caught off guard, then I'm going to be alert and on and ready. But this can lead to this chronicity of being hypervigilant. So when do we let go? When do we say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to worry about that other shoe because I'm in a stress response and my body needs to find that homeostasis. Well, that means that I've got to let go of that habit, first be aware of that habit. But letting go of the habit is actually has been a really long practice for me in that I recognize the habit. I acknowledge it in the way that it's here. Right, just that in that alone, the awareness to acknowledge it, and then I allow it in the sense of I let it be, as opposed to you shouldn't be doing this all these years, you're teaching this stuff, and you still like just noticing that language, right? That inner critic, and it's more of just like, yeah, okay, this too, it's here, and then when I relate to it, it's relating to it as protection. It's seeking safety, which is what we're seeking in certainty, right? We want to feel safer. We want to feel like we're going to be okay. You know, my son needed new tires today, and it's like, oh, you know, it's like all four, and I'm just like, oh, you know, and it's like I want, you know, I want safety with the financial future, and you know, different things. I want more certainty, and it's like, okay, how can I find the abundance of this moment? Looking at you, seeing all of your names being together, this is priceless for me. This is priceless. This is where I recharge. So I get, as opposed to, okay, well, now it's the tires. What's next? Right? And then it's looking for what's next. Like, what else is going to drop? Instead of like, what's here? Oh, I have money today to pay for those tires. All right, you know? And then challenge the thought says, yeah, but what about? No, there's no, yeah, but we're just going to be with this is. This is, right? This is. So, yeah, I would say it's a practice and I would say it's part of our nature. And especially when we've come from upbringings where, you know, we had experiences that were overwhelming and unpredictable, which humanity, right? That's just part of our human conditioning.
Yeah, it sounds like so it's important just to have that awareness when it's happening, you know? Because the truth of the matter is, I don't have to be on guard. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not like there's something horrible out there lurking, and there's nothing. There really isn't anything. So I, on one hand, I can recognize it as it's almost like kind of silly, but it's just like an ingrained kind of response to life, I guess. So.
Yeah, and I would say that, like kind of like the boogeyman type of thing, like what's looming, But then I would say that there are people in certain situations that do need to look over their back, that,
100%. Yeah,
right? So,
sure.
but how about us recognizing that in this moment, in the container that we're in together, maybe we don't. And
Okay.
can we savor that and take that in? Because those are the moments that we need more of. And I think they're self-directed in our practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a
Thank
great
you, Paula.
perspective. Thanks.
Thanks so much. All right. Any other questions or thoughts, comments? And we can also put it in the chat, or we can come off mute and say hello, whatever you want. And I'll do the awkward pause to see who is going to ask or share.
I can share for a moment.
Please, Pamela.
Yeah, so I was here last week and then this week, and one of the through lines I'm finding is that it feels like the world lifts for the 20 or 25 minutes that we're doing the meditation. And I feel like a lightness and a stimulation by kind of pausing the world and kind of collecting myself and feeling renewed.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So and just think you're giving that to yourself weekly, right, in a communal way, and that's making an imprint, a pathway in your system, right? And so what we pay attention to grows. So the more that we are paying attention in this way, right, it's skillful in this way, as opposed to, for me, I bottomed out one more time on the news, like just can't do it right now. Like I mean, I'm resourceful, I'm very connected in many ways, different communities, professionally, personally, and it's just like too much. And so, okay, what do I want to cultivate? So having this moment where we can just tap in and connect in the way that you're talking about it, Pamela, and there's a lightness and nothing has changed.
Right.
Right? Like no circumstances, no conditions have not changed. And yet there it is, there's lightness. So maybe that, again, that quote of like, what I'm kind of chasing after or seeking is here always. But we don't always find it, when we're sitting by ourselves. It's so beautiful when we can sit in community.
Right. And I was just going to say one more thing, and that is, one of the things that I've kind of edited out of my life is listening to stories about violence. Like if their NPR says, warning, this story contains such and such and such, I'm like, switch, I change it because I have this philosophy, which is don't use your head as a trash can. So if I make certain edits, not that there aren't things happening in the world that are, foundation shaking, but perhaps I choose to pay attention to fewer of the things where people harm each other. So I think it makes me not as going through the world with an expectation of, potential harm. I just have more, that increases my trust, I think.
Wonderful. I love that. So being able, like, trigger warning, and that's your cue off, right? It's like, I love that because I think that there's a morbid curiosity and just kind of like by our nature to go, what? Because maybe, like, I'll have to say, my children, I mean, they have had to deal with it over all the years that I teach, that I talk about them sometimes in my classes and stuff. But like, my children love horror films and like all this stuff. And I'm just like, isn't there enough? Like, what's happening? Like, isn't there enough? And like, what are you doing to your nervous system? So we kind of talked about it. And I said, is it because you feel that you can localize it? Like, oh, it's on the screen. Like what I'm watching is on the screen as far as like the bad, the evil, like the different things. And it's like I'm localizing it. And then also my daughter shared that, she was very much into like serial documentaries, like serial killers. And I'm just like, oh my God, here I am, a compassion teacher. And I'm like, whatever, right? Our children are gonna do. She's 23, she's gonna do what she's gonna do. But I said, do you feel like you're trying to learn how to prepare for something on some level? And so there is this part of us that can want to know, but then can we pause and say, do I need to know? And is it going to lift me or is it going to grip me? Right. And that for me, I think that is the gift that we have the choice. And I love that it's a practice that you're protecting your peace, right? Within and without, because if you're activated and hearing stuff, like even driving and listening to this stuff for whatever, it's like, how is that going to serve us? Yeah. Thank you so much. And I've enjoyed looking at you this whole time as well. So thank you for your camera. You have a beautiful face. Okay, let's see. Anyone else? Oh, can we have the author and the name of the poem you just read? Yes. So it's Laura Ding Edwards, and it's called The Mountain. And I'm going to read you another poem before we end too. That's lovely. Oh, I love this. So James says, after watching murder documentaries, I balance it out with comedy or romance movie. Good. There's a little equanimity, right? We're going to balance it out. Okay, beautiful. Mark, yes. Can you unmute? Is it not unmuting you? Because I'm giving the little notch. Okay, there we go.
Sorry about
Hi.
that. Hi.
No, not at all.
I just wanted to add to the violence comment. So I was watching hockey the other day and actually had to leave while watching the game due to people actually cheering for grown men wanting to injure each other, which would generally be like against the law, right? And yeah, I realized that acceptance is indeed like the way to go, right? Accepting that people are violent and it's not in their nature and it's a how they're raised and kind of a cycle that is learned and developed and very hard to admit as well for most people. And
Right. So, how beautiful to take care of your own heart and recognize I don't want to participate and maybe even support the harm, right? The violence, even if it's entertainment or they've signed up for it and they're adults. It's like for you're like, no, I don't want this.
Anything negative, I don't want to put it out there. I don't want to give energy to it, right?
Wonderful. Beautiful. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome. Just wanted to add that. Thank you so much.
I love that. Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, let's see. Is there something over here? I would appreciate it if you did not share my concern out loud. Oh, okay. Who is saying that? Okay. Yeah, so I have a participant that's naming something that this is where I would say that there's a lot going on all over the world. And how can we care for ourselves in the way that we need to be informed? We need to know what's going on, and also that what's going on can be causing tremendous amount of harm, and that other people need to know about it, right? So that it can be stopped, so that we can say this violence needs to end. And so just noticing that some of us are able to be in a place of privilege or not have that direct experience of different things that are happening maybe in another part of the world. And so can we just take in, just maybe even if you'd like, just an invitation to just take this moment right now to recognize the cultivation that we've created with presence, with connection, with our heart. And just wishing for all beings to feel safe, protected, free from harm, violence, injustice, war. Just noticing what it feels like to take this moment of pause from wherever we are and from whatever background. Religion, culture, socioeconomic, whatever it is, sexual orientation, that we're taking this moment to pause, to direct our attention for peace, for connection, for inclusivity, for the end of what feels like endless wars. Oh, you're so welcome. Okay, so my heart is full. We have a much like Mark. I cannot watch violence in sport. The reason I do not like hockey and football. Also, we have. I once read a description of hockey. There was a fight, but a game broke out. I think Mark might appreciate that. So someone's asking about falling asleep during meditation. So this can just be about rest, that we need more rest. Right. And sometimes it also can be the untrained mind or maybe the overburdened mind, the restless mind says, I'm going to tune out. I'm going to rest. I'm going to go to sleep. So it can be a lot of things or several things. I don't have to make a lot of it. But we can just recognize, I would say, and Diana talks about this a lot. She says, you know, if you feel like you're getting sleepy or kind of falling asleep, it could be that you're just tired and use this time to rest. Right. And then if you realize that every meditation that you're starting to fall asleep or that you're, you know, hard to keep your eyes open, then I would say that there could be a part that maybe is just tuning out a little bit and it's kind of more challenging to be with what's here. So maybe it can be a time that we open our eyes and just have a soft gaze that we're looking at something and staying with maybe the natural awareness of our moment-to-moment experience, maybe just like a focal point of something that we have a soft gaze, because it is training our attention to stay present because of this restless, wandering mind that goes back and forth to future, past storytellings, right? Okay. So, any last thoughts? We have about 5 minutes. I would like to end with. Just kind of taking a moment of hearing this beautiful poem by Patricia Fleming. So, if you want to sit with your eyes closed or look out the window or have your eyes open, totally up to you. But it's just going to be a time to receive. This is the other thing that I'll say that meditation can lift us because we're in a time of receptivity, we're receiving. And we live in a culture and a time of just glorifying doing. Go, 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 do. So the rest is receiving moment to moment. Okay, here we go. So each moment is precious by Patricia Fleming. So she says, live in the moment, just take it all in. Pay attention to everything right there and right then. Don't let your mind wander to what's coming next. Cherish this moment and give it your best. Don't let tomorrow make you rush through today, or too many great moments will just go to waste. And the person you're with in that moment you share, give them all of your focus. Be totally there. Laugh till it hurts. Let the tears drop. Fill each moment with all that you've got. Don't miss the details. The lesson is there. Don't get complacent. Stay sharp and aware. It can take but a moment to change your life's path. And once it ticks by, there's no going back. In just 60 seconds, you may make a new friend, find your true love, or see a life start or end. You become who you are in those moments you live. And the growth's not in taking, but in how much you give. Life is just moments, so precious and few, whether valued or squandered, it's all up to you. So, just recognizing how we can take in this moment and live it to the fullest. And when we don't want it to be the way that it is, can we recognize the acceptance? I'm just putting in the chat the name of that poem. Also, I'm going to include my name in my website. And I just want to dedicate our time together to be of benefit to all beings, to be a benefit to the generosity of this earth, who freely gives to us all the elements, all the weather that can turn things up, that can change things in a moment, that protects us, that nurtures us, that challenges us. And that may we recognize our common humanity, that we are not alone. That at any moment we can feel that interconnectedness and sense of belonging. And first recognizing it within ourselves. How can I belong more to myself as opposed to rejecting different parts of me? How can I invite that self-compassion? Thank you so much, everyone. I so appreciate this time together. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.